joined on the green this week by contributor Larry Nagengast. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about a couple of charter schools that are expanding. This week, Larry looks at one that is seeking to contract and why it is looking to do so. Larry, we appreciate you taking some time to join us this week on the green to talk about this latest charter school story.
Okay, great, great. Glad to be here, Tom.
So first off, can you tell us a little bit about Great Oaks Charter School and its track record over its six-year history?
Yeah, sure. Great Oaks came to Wilmington in 2015 as one of three charter schools that would find a home in the community education building just a couple of blocks from Rodney Square. It was part of a larger Great Oaks organization, which operated charter schools in New York, in New Jersey, and in Connecticut. And the instructional model for Great Oaks includes 2 hours a day of one-on-one tutoring in English and math, intended to bring academic performance of children from low-income families back up to grade level and beyond. Now, Great Oaks enrolled a little bit more than 200 sixth graders that year and planned to add a grade a year to become a combination middle school and high school. Now, things went pretty well for 3 years, and then other charter schools started adding middle school grades from their, in addition to their lower grade programs, and Christina School District consolidated its buildings into grades 1 through 8 programs. These are the buildings in the city, and that made it harder for Great Oaks to recruit and to retain middle school students. Now, this came all as Great Oaks was starting its high school program, but Great Oaks didn't really put good support systems in place for that high school operation. And then some of the school's original leaders left. They moved out of state or took other jobs, and there weren't enough strong people in place to take over. Not unusual for a small school where you don't have a whole lot of backup. Some teachers then left. The academics took a hit. The enrollment dropped. Management at the very top also became an issue because it was based in New York with the foundation headquarters, and that limited its ability to quickly solve problems as they developed in Wilmington. Now there's a new management team in place. The school's board of directors is based in Wilmington, and Great Oaks is kind of in a rebuilding mode.
And part of that rebuilding mode is to shrink its footprint, dropping the middle school grades to focus on high school. What prompted that request, and how would it work if it's approved?
Well, as I said, the school's enrollment declines prompted the request, and the fact that other public schools in the city, both traditional and charter, were moving to this K-8 or 1-8 configuration made it harder for Great Oaks to keep sixth grade as the desired point of entry here. So if Great Oaks is going to have a small enrollment, you know, 300 or so students, it believes it can do better by focusing its efforts on having 75 or 80 students at each of the four high school years than by spreading itself thin over 50 or so students in both middle school and high school grades. Now, if the charter modification is approved, here's how the change would work. Great Oaks would serve grades 7 through 12 in the coming year, 8 through 12 in 22-23, and then become high school only in the fall of 2023. No current student would be forced to leave, and new students will be admitted in 7th and 8th grade this fall and in 8th grade in the fall of 2022.
So the state's Charter School Accountability Committee recommends approving this plan, but with some conditions. Can you talk a little bit about those conditions?
Sure. But first, let me make clear, the conditions that were set out represent things that the school is willing to do and what it should be doing. So it's not as though anything that I've mentioned or I'm going to mention here is in any way punitive or onerous. And also Leland Kent, who's the executive director of the school, says Great Oaks is already on its way to meeting these conditions. First of all, the school has until the 1st of July to submit a plan showing it how it will have at least 65% of its teachers certified in their content areas by September 1st. Next, also by July 1st, the school has to submit a plan showing how it will recruit more students by September 1st. And then it will also have to submit monthly reports on recruitment and enrollment until the end of September. Then, by the end of October, it's got to submit a budget that shows that the school is financially viable based on whatever the September 30th enrollment count is. Finally, by next April 1st, enrollment must be at least 260 students, which would be 80% of the school's authorized enrollment of 325. And if the enrollment falls between 80 and 90% of that authorized level, the school must also submit another revised budget showing that it will have financial viability based on the actual enrollment numbers that it has next spring.
Now, we've seen other charters get this type of conditional approval and wind up with kind of mixed results. Can Great Oaks meet these conditions? You mentioned that they're on their way to some of them. How does the outlook for them meeting these conditions look?
Well, you know, the way the conditions are structured, there's no convenient way for the state to take action against the school if the conditions aren't met, at least not until we get to where the April enrollment numbers come in. But, you know, there have been some mid-year closures of charter schools in the past, so you can't rule that out entirely. However, there is a process that has to be followed. It's something that's called the formal review, and that can take a couple of months to play out anyhow. So, my best guess here is that if Great Oaks is satisfied with its enrollment numbers at the start of the fall semester, it will find a way to get through the year. But it's going to be in a tough position next spring if enrollments are down and all of the other conditions are not met.
Some of the issues we're seeing with Great Oaks that you've mentioned are similar to ones other struggling charters have faced in the past, things with enrollment, with management. What happened here in those areas, similar or different to what we've seen before?
Well, yeah, we've seen variations on this theme before, certainly. I mean, even as charters grow by adding one grade a year, their leaders don't always have the needed management structures in place to operate with larger number of grade levels, and especially when you're jumping from middle school and into high school or from elementary into middle, that sort of thing, it becomes a little bit more complicated. Sometimes also the founding leaders of a school may have great vision, but they may be short on the nuts and bolts of management skills that become more important as a school establishes itself. You know, and that was part of the problem at Great Oaks. A great vision, but not quite as strong on the nuts and bolts of management. Now, on top of that, as I indicated, the school was part of an organization directed by a foundation based in New York. So, yes, that foundation did have experience starting other charter schools and doing it well. But when there were problems in Wilmington that couldn't be resolved in a phone call, that 125-mile distance between Manhattan and Rodney Square really became a road too far for them to handle easily.
And the timing of these issues with the pandemic didn't help either, did it?
Correct. The pandemic upended everything, and in Great Oaks' case, the new management team was settling in just as the pandemic hit, and that meant that it had to navigate this transition to remote learning and later to the hybrid mode that all the other schools were experiencing when they really would have preferred to be spending their time stabilizing their regular operations and starting to build fresh bridges into the Wilmington community.
So what are some of the other things Great Oaks is trying to do to help stabilize its current situation?
Well, one thing worth mentioning very pragmatically is that when it eliminates the middle school grades, the school will only need to use one floor, not two, in the community education building. So that means it's going to save on rent. More importantly, the school has begun building these bridges into the community that I just mentioned. Now, during the just-finished school year, Great Oaks established relationships with two groups that operate learning pods. These are settings where 8 or 10 students can gather during the day, log into their lessons online, and have the benefit of adult supervision and assistance rather than being home with no one to care for them in these remote learning situations. Another partnership is with an organization that provides summer, after-school, and weekend programming. And also arrangements are in the works to partner with The Warehouse, that teen service center that we've talked about in the past that opened last year as part of the Reach Riverside redevelopment initiative. Also, Great Oaks is planning to offer a summer learning program that will be open to students from other schools as well as to the Great Oaks students themselves.
So often we've seen charters that face distress have difficulty climbing out of the hole that they're in. The issues get out there to see, makes it hard to recruit and retain students, and there's kind of this spiral, this vicious circle. Can Great Oaks overcome that? Is this a test case to see if the state can really resuscitate a struggling charter school?
Now, I don't know that you would call it a test case for the state because, quite frankly, the burden is on the school, although, you know, certainly the folks at the State Department of Education are going to try to be supportive to the extent that they can. But first of all, it would be very disappointing for the advocates of charter schools to see Great Oaks fail. First of all, Great Oaks had arrived in Wilmington with great aspirations because of the success of Great Oaks programs in other cities, and it rented space in that plush community education building, that former MBNA office site that has been repurposed to become a hub for multiple charter schools. So I think Great Oaks will have a lot of people working hard to help it establish itself as a high school. However, it will have to do better at recruiting students as they leave schools that end their instruction at the eighth grade, charters like Eastside and Edison, Kumba and First State Montessori, and those traditional public schools, Bancroft and Byard, in the Wilmington portion of the Christina School District. Now, it's possible that Great Oaks will rebuild and prosper, but as we've seen with the charter school movement in Delaware, only the strong survive. And if Great Oaks can't strengthen its survival instinct, it will be time for its directors to turn in the school's charter or risk having the state take it away.
All right, Nine Guest, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thank you for being with us on The Green this week.
You're quite welcome, Tom.